Our gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. When I read that passage from the book of Genesis, I wondered to myself, why do we want to be like God? Why do we want to be like God? Maybe not in the form of one who everyone worships or obeys, or like holds life or death in the palm of his or her hands, but one who knows everything, who through that knowledge controls their own destiny and creates their own future. How wonderful we may think that it would be to have that type of knowledge. Then there would never be any surprises in life, uncertainties or questions. We wouldn't be plagued with doubt or have to deal with mysteries. We would know how to draw the boundaries clear and boldly, and thus eliminate the gray areas or the fuzzy lines. We would have so much more control because everything would make sense. Then we would know right from wrong, good from evil, yes from no, who should be in and who should be out. It would be so much easier. All these arguments and misunderstandings and disagreements would be wiped away because we would all be of one mind. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Or would it? Why do we want to be like God? It's interesting that the beginning of the end for Adam and Eve in the garden came with this very premise: eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will be like God. According to the serpent, they would not really die if they ate the fruit. In essence, the serpent was saying that God had lied to them, that God did that because God didn't want them to be like God. God didn't want their eyes to be opened like God's. Now, for me, to hear that would have had me run the other way. Just, that would have been enough. I would have said, okay, this is not my friend. But the question that I still wrestled with is, why wasn't that enough for them? Why Did they want to be like God? But through their limited understanding, they saw the fruit was good to eat, beautiful to the eyes, and desirous for wisdom. The scriptures attribute this to Eve, but if you read the passage clearly, you will see that Adam was there the whole time, listening, watching, waiting. And with silent consent, he too ate the fruit after Eve took the first bite. And true to God's word, because God does not lie, they died. Their eyes were opened and their innocence died. They were never the same again. Just like that, everything changed. As a result, for the first time, they knew shame and rushed to cover themselves and hide their bodies. For the first time, they experienced fear as they heard God approaching and ran from God instead of towards God. For the first time, they felt guilt and blamed others for their own disobedience. Why couldn't they trust God to be God? Our Romans passage says that just as sin entered the world through one person and death came through sin, so death spread to all because all have sinned. It's all Adam's fault. It's all Eve's fault. But our story doesn't end there. God will always have the last word. For out of love for the world, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who though divine, took on human flesh and humbled himself. He experienced our struggles. He cried our tears. His stomach ached with the hunger pains of the hungry. And he knew the sorrows that we have all seen and experienced. In his most vulnerable state, there in the wilderness, he was tempted. Tempted by the devil after being led by the Holy Spirit. If you are who you think you are, Jesus, the devil said. If God is who you think God is, if you don't really know who I am. With every temptation the devil put forward, Jesus responded, making it very clear that God is God. And there is no other. With every temptation, what was at stake in that wilderness was, can God be trusted to be God? And what Jesus' ultimate victory in that wilderness said was yes. God can be trusted to be God. God can be trusted to love us, to care for us, to be faithful to us, to watch over us, to provide for us, to keep us in our coming and in our going. God can be trusted to be God because there is no one like the Lord. Jesus trusted God not only in the wilderness. That was just a trial run. But Christ trusted God during his work with the people through his hardship in the garden. Do you remember in the garden when Jesus is praying and he says, not my will be done, but thy will? He trusted God even then. He trusted God through the torture on the cross. And even when he breathed his last, as he was dying on the cross, he trusted God as he committed his spirit into the hands of God. believing that his Father would raise him up on the third day. Through his righteousness, Jesus made a way for all of us. Christ did this not for his own sake, but for ours. Although sin placed us in the path that led us away from God, Christ paved the way for us to be drawn closer and to reconciled with God. For just as through one person death came to all, so now through Christ we in him have been made right before God and given new life. Thank God for grace. This is a free gift from God to us. It is a gift that we would never be able to earn, could never bargain or sacrifice for, will never, ever be worthy of. Yet God freely offers us this gift of grace so that sin and death would not have the last word. Instead, life will. Life lived for love's sake. Life now free to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Life lived daring to trust God to be God, even in the wilderness of our lives. This is the free gift of God to us through Jesus. My brothers and sisters, thank God. Thank God. Thank God for grace. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we are grateful. We're grateful for your Son, Jesus, whom you sent to save us. We're grateful for his sacrifice on the cross that wipes our sins away. We're grateful for this new life to which you have gifted us. Help us, O Lord, to live into that, to love you with our whole heart, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Bless us in this time of Lent as we travel with you. We ask that you draw us closer. And we pray all of this in the precious name of your Son, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.